The first part of my lesson today is going to be for everyone. But then toward the end of the lesson, it's going to be much, much more specific for this congregation. So please don't be offended. I think I will fully explain the lesson. Please don't be offended if you hear me say something that sounds very personal, because those in the congregation are the one for which my personal remarks are for. You know, brethren, if we made a list of major Bible topics, we would find a tremendous division of thought. Now, not within our congregation, but we would find a tremendous division of thought in the religious world. I think everyone of this congregation, for the most part, believes the Bible pretty much the same, but there is tremendous division in the religious world. But if I presented a lesson on the essentiality of baptism or the plan of salvation or the acts of worship, I think just about everyone of this congregation would completely agree with me, but not so in the religious world. In fact, there are some that get almost violent when they hear what we teach about those things and others. But brethren, what our intention is to know what the Bible says. And we also just cannot run away from what the Bible says. Or as the expression goes, you can just explain something away. Brethren, that is not the case when we're talking about God's Word. Now, if we're talking about my opinion or your opinion, yes, we can just explain that away, but opinion ceases when God's Word speaks. Now, of all those religious topics, probably the one that is the most sensitive is the topic of giving. And we all agree that our giving is very personal. In fact, that's probably the closest thing to agreement we have with the religious community. All of us realize that giving is very personal. It's just between me and God. It's very personal. But brethren, we also agree that God's Word gives us commands. And there is a command in the Bible to give. Now, in all my years of preaching, I have only encountered one man, he was a member of the Churches of Christ, who felt that giving was not a Bible command. I think he has forgotten what Paul wrote. Now, concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches in Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, that there be no gathering when I come. I believe he probably forgot to study that verse. He felt that even giving, even with that verse, is optional. And if it is optional, then it is just our opinion. Now, if he was pressed, he would probably say, giving is a good thing to do, but we're not obligated to give. Now, probably everyone here knows exactly what the Bible says about our giving. It is a Christian command. Just as we are commanded to sing and pray and study God's Word, we're also commanded to give. But sometimes our knowledge and application is not the same. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes our knowledge of the Scripture isn't borne out in our application. And that's the reason I've been asked to present this lesson today. Now, in a moment, we're going to begin to look at what the Bible says about giving. And it's going to be very cut and dry. There's not going to be any room for debate. But in the latter part of our lesson, we're going to study an aspect of giving here again, which is very personal. Because we're going to talk about amount. We're going to talk about how much should I as a Christian, how much should we as a Christian give. Now, in all of my preaching life, I have presented very, very few sermons on giving. We allude to it a lot in class and even in sermons, but I seldom preach a specific, complete lesson like today's lesson on giving. In fact, I was talking to Linda. I do not believe I have preached a specific lesson on giving since I've been in Port Lavaca, and that's 17 years. And yet it seems, regardless of where the preacher is, regardless of who the preacher is, when the congregation opens the Sunday sheet and sees that his sermon is about giving, all of a sudden our thought is, it's not the preacher's business how much I give. It's not his concern. Now, let me also say this. I do not know what anyone in this congregation gives other than what my wife and I give. I will never ask. I will never be told. Therefore, when I preach the lesson today, I won't be pointing any fingers except at myself. And I'll not be trying to step on any toes other than my toes. But it's time for us, maybe not all of us, maybe most of you are giving cheerfully as you have been prospered, as you have purposed in your life, giving acceptably in the sight of God. But there are some of us who it seems have run away from this responsibility. We don't mind making comment about the Bible study. We're familiar with the Bible study. We don't mind letting people know we're familiar with the Bible study. Our men don't mind leading prayers and reading scriptures and leading the singing. But when it comes to giving, all of a sudden, all of us just want to clam up. We just don't want anyone to know. It's time for some to sincerely understand what the Bible says about giving. Now, part of the lesson is very generic. Part of it is just going to be reading the scripture that I'm sure we've all read dozens of times before. But then we're going to get specific, or at least we, this congregation, is going to get specific, and we're going to talk about our giving. What is acceptable giving? Probably my most important point in this lesson is this. Giving should never be seen as a burden. It should never be seen as a burden. Our giving to the Lord is a blessing. It shows that we understand that God has given us everything that we have, everything that I own, everything that we own belongs to God. We are just managers of His wealth. It should never be seen as a burden. It should always be seen as a blessing. Everything that we do that makes God happy is a blessing. Now, let's lay the foundation beginning in the Old Testament. Let's talk for a moment about tithing. If you've studied the Old Testament, you know that the Jews of the Old Testament were required by law to tithe. Tithe was 10% of their income. To be considered righteous, you had to tithe. If you did not tithe, you were not considered righteous. Now, the giving of their means, the tithing, was to show that they acknowledged that God had brought them through all the difficulties of their existence, and they were honoring Him and glorifying Him by giving back some of what He had given them. They based that on Deuteronomy chapter 6. So they were honoring Him with their giving. They were glorifying Him in their giving. They were blessed by Him in their giving. They were taught by law that you had to tithe in order to show God and express to him your appreciation. And using Leviticus 19, you also tithe so that other people can be blessed by the wealth that he has given you. Now, brethren, that is the principle of giving, Old Testament and New Testament. That's the principle of giving. Not the formula, but that is the principle of giving. So once again, the Old Testament teaches us about New Testament Christianity. It is our schoolmaster, as Paul said. Now we turn to the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is talking about giving. And he uses as his example the Macedonians. You remember the Macedonians, even in their poverty, were eager to give. And he's using them as his example for the Christians to follow, for the Corinthian Christians to follow. And the key to understanding Paul's context is also the key to understanding Christian giving. Verse 5, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. They first gave themselves to the Lord. They first gave themselves to the Lord, and then it was only natural for them to give of their means to help the needy. And Paul says to the Corinthians, that's the example you need to follow. And he says, just as you abound, I like the translation that says excel, just as you excel in everything, in all the Christian aspects, just as you abound or excel, excel in this mercy also, excuse me, excel in this grace also. What grace? The grace of giving of our means to the Lord. We should give in order to express our love for God for all that he has given us. That is our demonstration of love to him. Now, without commentary, let's see what the Bible says from the book of Deuteronomy. Give generously to the Lord and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to do. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. From the book of Proverbs, do not withhold your offering when it is in your power to do it. Also, the righteous give and do not hold back. From the New Testament, it is more blessed to give than receive. Also, now this I say, that he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance of every good work. The Bible also says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Again, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And Paul also writes, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to one congregation, I'm giving order to you as well. Now, the easy part of the lesson is over because all we've talked about is the generics of giving. Now we get to the difficult part. Not only for me, also for you. How much should we give? How much constitutes acceptable giving? Now, admittedly, I can't answer that for you. You cannot answer that for me, but we need to realize something. Brethren, God owns everything that we have. Everything we possess has simply been loaned to us from him. He loaned it to us so that we can use our resources to help the needy, to enlarge the kingdom, to send missionaries. He's given us opportunity and ability to earn money so that we can use that money for His work. He's given us all things we have. In Deuteronomy 8, now let's not think only bad attitudes were for the New Testament. In Deuteronomy 8, beginning with verse 17, Moses, writing for God, is talking about the wrong attitude in giving. It says, we may say, and I like the English Standard Version here, uses the word beware. We need to beware. Saying, my power and the strength of my hands have produced my wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives us the ability to produce wealth. Again, we're just managers. We just take care of God's money. So when we give to the Lord, we need to keep that in mind. He deserves and He expects us to put Him first in our life. Jesus was emphatic, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not the leftovers of my life, but the first of my life. My talents, my abilities, my time, my money. Seek first God. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing. So how much should we give? What is the amount? I still think tithing is the formula that best serves us today. Now, Jesus did not give the New Testament church a percentage, though they did then. To be considered righteous, they had to tithe. But Jesus says concerning Christians, are you not much better than they? Our righteousness is to exceed their righteousness. So if we want to give more than 10%, if we want to give 20% or 30%, whatever we decide, we need to give it to God. God owns everything. He expects, He demands to be first in our life. We are to give cheerfully. We're to give regularly. We are to give from the abundance of our income. And now the real difficult part of our lesson comes. Brethren and local brethren, I don't know how to say what I want to say and what I need to say without being blunt. And as you know, I just don't like to be blunt. But concerning our giving, we've fallen way behind. I don't remember the last time we made budget. I don't remember. We've just fallen behind. We've had a tremendous drop off in our giving. And we could say, well, so many of our members moved away in 2017. And that's right. And most of those members that moved away had very good jobs, and I'm assuming they were very good givers. And that's right. But we have fallen way behind in our giving. Or we might say, well, what about the hurricane? I had to put money out of my pocket for a hotel and motel and the deductible that my insurance didn't cover, and then we had to eat out a lot because that's right. But we've still fallen way behind in our budget. And what about sickness? Oh, so much out of pocket sickness, buying medicine across the counter, going to the doctor, doing all of this. All of this is right. But we've fallen way behind in our budget. And I cannot help but repeating what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and those things that we worry about will take care of themselves. Oh, we can come up with excuses all day long. We could probably even come up with reasons, but we cannot get away from what Jesus says in that verse. And brethren, as a congregation, we do so much good in this community and in the world. And if we can't make budget, we're just going to have to make some cuts somewhere. You know, for a number of years now, at the end of the year, we've had a surplus of money. And so for several years now, we've made a major contribution, a major donation to Glenn Langston. Glenn Langston is blind. He is the only preacher in our brotherhood that I know of that teaches in Braille. He teaches blind people how to get to heaven. If we can't make budget, we're going to have to cut somewhere. We all know Freddie Anderson, how much we appreciate Freddie Anderson. We've had Freddie Anderson for, I guess, a decade, every year, to come and hold us a gospel meeting. But every year, we've had an abundance, a surplus of money, and we have happily sent an amount of money, a good amount of money, to help him in the prison ministry. He has converted hardened criminals to the Lord. They're going to be in heaven because of Freddie, and we are happy that we can support that work. For years, we've sent surplus money to the orphanage in India because it is such a wonderful and needed work, and our heart is thrilled every time we do that. And we've got utilities to pay, and we've got building upkeep, and we've got building repairs, and we've got salaries, and we've got insurance, all of the above. Something has to give. Somewhere we're going to have to cut if we can't make budget. And brethren, this is what we need to do. We first of all need to make up for the shortfall in 2017. Then we need to make up for the shortfall that's already hurt us in 2018. And then we need to get back on track. And let me also hasten to say this. God expects less contribution from someone that makes $10,000 or $12,000 a year than someone who makes $30,000 or $40,000 a year. But he expects more from someone who makes more than someone who makes less. And I also heard this thought process once before. If we took the amount that we give every week, and we're using the Old Testament formula of a tithe, if we took the amount that we give every week and multiplied it by 10, would we be able to survive? Brethren, we need to remember, everything we own belongs to the Lord. Now, we're not looking for an increase in salaries and upkeep. We're not looking for an increase in anything. But we just can't, as a congregation, use a lacking of our contribution to cause us to stop doing as much as we are already doing. In fact, we need to do more than we're already doing. We're either going to have to make it up, or we're going to have to cut. That's the principle of acceptable giving. And it's not a knee-jerk reaction, and it's not a break-your-heart reaction. But you know, I've often wondered when the preacher announces that he's going to talk about preaching, talk about giving, and it bothers people so much, I often wonder, why? Why does it bother us so much? Maybe it's because deep down I'm questioning my giving. Or maybe deep down I'm embarrassed about my giving. Or maybe deep down, I don't think the money is being spent as I should. Or maybe deep down, I think my money is needed elsewhere. Or maybe deep down, I don't believe that giving is a command. Or for some reason. But brethren, if we as a congregation want to just continue as we have been going, we need to think very seriously about this. And I hope and pray that we all realize now giving is a biblical subject. And I hope that this will serve as a wake-up call, not for everyone. I'm sure many of you are giving acceptably. But for those of us who are not, at least we know that God loves a cheerful giver. And one final verse, to paraphrase God. God has a desire to throw open the storeroom of heaven and shower blessing upon us. He says if we give to Him, He will give back to us in such abundance that we cannot even hold it all. Now probably in this congregation, that's the last time you'll ever hear me preach on giving. I don't like to, but sometimes we need to. Prayerfully consider what's been said today. We did not mention first principles, but it's possible that someone is here tonight who has never rendered obedience to the primary call of Jesus Christ. So if this morning, for any reason, baptism, for any other reason, if you would like to come, we'll get Ken to meet you up here in the front, and we will talk to you after the song. 945, all three verses. Shall we stand as we sing?